real life. Okay. Close enough. Close enough.
Oh, man. You too.
All right. All right. Do it again. All right. Two. Good enough. But we're back. Full panel. Good to have everyone on. Last episode, of course, it was just me, Ian, and Anthony, which was a good episode, but kind of running out of things to say at that point. Really burnt out, so we've had a week off. Dave, I mean, how's the week treated you? Two matches this week, both of them very, you know, heart problem inducing matches. How are you feeling?
Hey, I feel good, man. I feel good. Honestly, I'm sure most of us would probably prefer that both of those matches did not cause all those heartaches. But at the end of the day, we're at a part of the season where it seems like everybody's tired and everybody's pretty much running on fumes, you know, and you got to get a win the way you can. The first match against Empoli, after they managed to come back with that Crotone goal, well, the own goal, I'll be honest with you, I couldn't care less. I was like, okay, you know what? I'm not gonna lie. I want the trophy, but at that point, I'm okay if we lose the match, and then we'll just go on to the league. That's one less competition to worry about, and not worry about having midweek matches every week, you know. But we showed that we have the heart of the champion, and we did not give up, and that it meant something to us, the players on the pitch. And what a way to do it with that Ranocchia scissor kick. And then, again, we had to leave it late with Sensi coming on and getting a goal, which is a beautiful story. I'm sure we'll touch more on that a little bit. I won't say it was a similar story yesterday, because yesterday to me it was a different match. It was us dominating the whole match. We made a mistake, but again, as we've been talking about the whole season, our strikers are wasteful. And that's the reason why we left it so late, in my opinion. We'll touch more on that as well. All in all, we had two matches. We managed to win both. Not necessarily in the fashion that we probably would have preferred, but we still made it happen. Other teams are out here losing to relegation candidate teams. So winning at the last minute is not that bad.
Yeah, I mean, you're right about the Empoli match. Like, I remember when the first Empoli goal went in, I was like looking at my phone. I was laughing at a meme or something. I had to look up and the ball's just going in the net. And I was like, well, you know, I mean, it's the Coppa. Like, everyone's gassed now. We played the Super Coppa last week. Like, going out wouldn't be the end of the world, but having all three pieces of domestic silverware still would be nice. Like, I mean, towards the end, I was like, I wanted to, you know, pull that out, especially after the Ranocchia goal. Like, you can't let a goal like that from that guy go to waste. Like, you're never going to see that again. Yeah. Like, you've got to have that. But I'll go to Hristo. He's been lurking in the dark over here live from the basement. What's up? What's going on?
Not much, Mike. I'm just in a great mood considering, you know, we are winning the matches that we don't deserve to win, or in a sense, matches that we wouldn't have won in the past. I'm just, you know, cruising down the aisle, taking everything that I need, taking all the 3 points that are coming our way. And, you know, it was a crucial match, a match against Venezia on a damn bad pitch, as Inzaghi put it out. And it's something, you know, considering that even under Conte, we used to play with the ball on the pitch instead of going route one and just crossing the ball and doing the Candreva thing with Spalletti. It paid off at the end. It was tough. I saw some stats and XGs, which I don't really rate or give a fuck about, but they're still, you know, a great indicator of how good we were, considering, as I said, the pitch. And at the end of the day, it's a match. It was a crucial match against an opponent that had so many injuries and, you know, COVID cases. But 3 points are 3 points, and we've seen, you know, Juventus lose in the past against teams like Empoli, with various players scoring against them. So yeah, both Venezia and Empoli, although not the best teams, crucial wins for the Coppa Italia. As we progress further, we saw Roma struggle against a Serie B side, and they're winning 4-0 against Empoli, who we struggle against. So it's a weird league, it's a weird season, or third season in a row, that's a weird season. I'm just happy that we finally won, and we played before Milan did. So 3 points in the back, and you get to see Milan against Juventus tonight. Perfect end to the fixture list.
Yeah, and then 2 weeks of us not having to worry about anything, which is nice, especially after the way that the past few matches have gone. Unless we're worried about Alexis Sanchez going off and getting injured for Chile. I mean, you've got World Cup qualifying to worry about, but I guess we'll see about that. But Ian, have you ever seen the pitch at San Siro as bad as it is right now?
I think my local team has better pitch than the Mats has right now. It really is shambolic. But think of it, you have two teams that play, once a week, sometimes two times a week. Today, Milan play at home. Yesterday, we played at home, so that's two games in 2 days. I don't think I've ever seen this. This is absolutely pathetic from the Italian Federation to allow this kind of thing.
Yeah, I'm used to complaining about pitches at Sassuolo, at Lecce, at wherever we go, where we struggle. We were always that damn pitch, they're leaving it looking like a potato field just so it'll fuck us up. But now it's our own stadium where we're supposed to be able to play the football we want to play, and we're doing it to ourselves. So, somebody's got to get on that. They've got 2 weeks. I don't know where the Italian qualifiers are going to be, but if they're not at San Siro, somebody needs to get out there on that pitch. Because that is,
yeah. I remember reading something about them. They were supposed to be bringing in some kind of turf from America, kind of like the same kind of stuff they use for American football. It was supposed to be installed during the break, so I guess that didn't happen. I'll try to find an article and we could repost it on the podcast Twitter. But it's crazy. It's pathetic. And at this point, that's one thing that I'm sure probably Milanisti will be asking for a replay against, because we got to play before them and we damaged the pitch, and now they get to play with a bad pitch. I'm sure it was Marotta that did that. Beppe.
And Beppe was out there with the pitchfork himself, just breaking up the pitch, this old man.
God forbid they get injuries. I mean, we're not gonna ask that because that's their style. They're the ones that wish injuries on us. But yeah, let's acknowledge our guys, man. We got Sharma in the house, man. What's up, Mikey? Smiley.
We got Mattia.
Yeah, Jovic. He's a nephew from Sharma.
Yeah, and we got Wissam here. What's up, guys?
What's up, everybody?
Still
thank
on
you.
The Korea FC poo-poo Korea. Nah, but
he's not Tupu Korea anymore. He's poo-poo Korea.
Yeah, yeah. I'm glad Sharma's keeping the dedication. That's gonna be his guy until he's eventually sold or balls out, and then he, gets his next parade of right. Remember Baragi that he was on about, and Baragi ended up being decent that season. I'm not gonna question Sharma. He's always right.
Yeah, Sharma knows ball, man.
Sharma, to be fair, Baragi did score two wonderful goals. What was it last week?
Yeah, those free kicks. Yeah, beautiful goals.
And he missed the penalty today. So, universe balancing things out. Sharma having bad opinions.
Oh, Risto, also that kid, I thought you didn't like that one.
Yeah, for real. I mean, it's the first time I actually see somebody with the tablecloth kit.
Yeah, you know what?
Anything on the back?
Back then, though.
No, of course. I told a friend of mine that was ordering kits for me and him to order this year's second kit, but instead, he misheard me and ordered last year. So, I had a lunch on it today, and now I'm wearing it, so making the full use out of it. But it's it's different. It's the fuck?
Yeah, who else is going to have it?
Yeah, I mean, I don't hate it at all.
The blank back looks bad, though.
It does, but that's why I only wear it for podcasts.
That's actually what looks like. It's ready for somebody to come and ride on your back and fill it in and stuff like that.
So people kick me.
what I can do is open an auction, and whoever donates the most money, you can write whatever you want and pick whatever number you want. So
I'll do it just so I can put the image on the back.
That's a good idea. And he's trying to make money over this stuff. Like, this guy, man, what a scammer.
The internet is bad, so I think I heard you say Handanovic. That's not acceptable. It's
if he pays and he wins, he writes whatever he wants.
You're gonna get like Gabigol on there.
Gabigol.
Yeah, you can do that. Or Karamo or JJ. Whatever.
Get Santon. There you go.
So what are you guys trying to do? You guys want to talk about the matches one by one? Like, actually,
About to jump back. I wanted to jump back to the Empoli match, but that kit was too good to pass up. But moving on in the Coppa, it's Roma next. I mean, is it more of a hindrance at this point to a Scudetto race, to the, you know, Champions League, whatever you want with the Champions League? Like, I don't know what I even expect out of that match, and it's in a few weeks. I'll kick it off with you though, Dave. Is the Coppa like worth it? Like, what kind of team would you put out going forward, especially after looking at the way that we played against Empoli?
Honestly, I put out the same team Inzaghi put out against Empoli, that pretty much a B team. Especially because after Roma, who do we have? We have Napoli after Roma or something, or Liverpool. Yep. Like, I don't know, man. My mind is just all gobbled up with all those tough matches we have coming up. So at the end of the day, I'm not going to go and put my A1 team out there in a Copa match, probably in a fucked up pitch, get them injured or tired, and then still lose a Copa or whatever, and then end up dropping points in the league or getting embarrassed in the Champions League. So I think that this is the point of the season where we have to pretty much list our priorities, and which should be Serie A number one, Champions League below that, and then Copa after that, you know. So that's how the team should reflect. Like, so to answer your questions, Mikey, I don't feel like it's a hindrance, because I'll be lying to you if I told you that I don't want to win it. But I also feel like it's not a priority, you know. And we've been talking about it all season on the podcast, how we have the best squad, we have the deepest squad. This is where it has to happen. Unfortunately, Correa's hurt, but we're going to have to put out the same team. Sanchez is in great, great form. Hopefully that continues. And I think that should be enough to beat Roma.
What about Sensi after that goal? Do you think he's staying?
Yeah, I do, actually. Especially because of Correa's situation. You know, Correa's out for a month. I was expecting to see Sensi yesterday. We didn't see him. But, yeah, I expect him to play, because I was reading something earlier as well that he's talking to the club. If he stays, he wants to actually play. So they're working things out. So yeah, I want to see him get a chance to play, and hopefully, knock on wood, he doesn't get injured as he always does. But I want to at least see him given a chance. Just like we were saying that Sanchez got us that Copa winning goal. It earned them a start against Atalanta. The fact that Sensi got us that winning goal, it's not going to earn him a start, in my opinion, but at least it should earn him some minutes off the bench. You know, it's not like Vecino or Gagliardini are setting the world on fire when they come on anyway.
Yeah. I mean, Sensi, he needs time. He needs to play. It's not going to be you can throw him out there to even start yet, because this dude needs his minutes built up, you know, his fitness, sharpness, all of that needs to be built back up, and that's going to take time. Like, I think starting yesterday, well, not starting, but they could have gotten him in that match yesterday, and that would have been a good first step. I don't know why. I don't know if Inzaghi was just reading the match and didn't think that his profile would work there. I mean, he brought on Vidal. He brought on Vecino.
That's where I would have brought on Sensi. Because if you're pulling off Brozo, I would put on Sensi before I put on Vecino. But
I just wanted to say a thing or two about this. Well, watching the game, I thought that we lacked physicality in the midfield. for some reason, it was just like we were being overrun. Even though Brozovic was playing great and he had so many accurate passes, short and long, but we lacked physicality throughout the match. So I thought to myself, you know, is it a Vecino who is not in a great form and hasn't played in a long while, let's say, or Gagliardini, who's just a bad player. So it's either way, it's a gamble. We got that physicality with Vecino, and just look at the goal once again. Like, he is dragging two players in his way. Both players, the defenders, are going to mark Vecino, and Dzeko is basically staying one-on-one with the other defender. He's taller, he has bigger jump or higher jumping reach, and it's a goal situation that without Vecino, with someone like Sensi, that doesn't happen. So I think that's the pinpoint that we should focus on when talking about the winning goal that Dzeko scored.
Well, to touch back on that, to be honest, like, we did lack physicality in the midfield. I'll agree to that, but I don't think it was an issue because we still dominated the match. You know, we had, 72, 73% possession, 24 shots, 12 on target. And I was just looking at the duels there. We won many more duels than they did, 53 to their 42. You know, so it's like, we did like the physicality when they tried, but the fact that we had the ball most of the time, or like the lion's share of the time, it didn't really hurt us, you know? So I understood why he brought on Vecino. I understood. I thought that he brought him on because he took off Lautaro and Dzeko was suddenly isolated up there in the box by himself. So he wanted somebody to make those long runs and probably send some balls in to Vecino. That's what I thought. But I don't know, man. I would have threw in Sensi in there because against a squad like that, his technique, his wit, that's something that we need, because they were playing 10 men behind the ball the whole time. You know, but that's where Sensi's skill would have helped us, I think.
I think we're focusing on a totally different things. But when you put in Sensi, you expect him to play, short passes, whatever he does, it's on the pitch. And the pitch, we established that it was a bad pitch. You couldn't play on the pitch. So you have to, you know, change the tactics a little bit and use that, you know, Spalletti juice. Just cross and inshallah. And that's what we did. When you're doing that, you cannot do that with, Sanchez or Correa, who, although, you know, tall and scored some great goals in the past, he is not a player that, you know, associate with scoring heading goals. Lautaro is on and off. He knows how to score, but I think that Dzeko was the best opportunity. Putting someone like Vecino or Gagliardini will drag players and move the attention from Dzeko and split it between Dzeko and whoever else it was. And I think...
Yeah, we saw that. I agree with you. We did see that. And Vecino had a couple of long runs like we always see, but at the end of the day, he can't make the simple pass that seems obvious to everybody, or at least get a shot on target. It's frustrating. It's a player, like, you see it all the time. He's making those long runs, long strides, beautiful to watch, but we all knew nothing was going to come out of it. But at the end of the day, I just wanted to wrap my personal opinion of the match saying that I don't think we were personally bad at all, given the circumstances against Venezia. You know, I mentioned the stats already, which were dominant stats. And Skriniar is a guy that he deserves a pass every time he makes a mistake, which is not as often. That goal was on him. Henry pretty much Icardi'd him. That was the Icardi movement, you know, the fake going inside and then drift back, and then he lost him. That's literally what Icardi had done to Milan, you know. So credit to Henry, man. And then we made a mistake. We were able to pull it back, and then we won the match. That had everything written on it for it to be like a trap match where we pretty much drop points, or we draw, or we even lose. But this is a testament to the mentality of the team, and that's why we can never count them out no matter what.
Yeah, I think that's wrapped up pretty well. I mean, I wanted to get back a little further back. I wanted to touch last on the Empoli match, and then we'll get back to Venezia, of course. But I want to pose it to I'll give Risto. No, let me give it to Ian. Ian, you haven't spoken in a minute.
Ian hasn't spoken yet. He's sitting there watching.
He's been ghosting over there. But did the match against Empoli mean anything? Like, looking at the team that was out there and then looking at how not great at times they looked, is that a red flag, or is that just the B team where you're just like, yeah, it's the B team? Like, obviously this result doesn't really matter too much. Like, I mean, we get the goals and we get the things to talk about out of it, but like going into that match, like, I felt like no one was really too worried. And if we would have lost, like, there might have been some people being dramatic, but after that, it wouldn't have meant in the grand scheme of things. So I guess wrap it up. Okay, go ahead.
What happened was that Inzaghi put out basically a B team, and they haven't really played together. They don't know really how to complement each other. We saw D'Ambrosio, Ranocchia, and Federico Di Marco in the back three with Radu in goal. Do I need to say anything? We saw Arturo Vidal, Matias Pessina, and Roberto Gagliardini in the midfield. Who's the primary ball carrier? Who's the guy that makes the passes, the plays? You know, we don't really have a playmaker in between those three. We have, I guess, two box-to-box, three box-to-box players, if you really want to put it. It was just an unbalanced team playing against a team that really showed their balls, that they can compete, they tried to compete. And they took us all the way to extra time. I mean, we saw they had us on the ropes for quite some time. If it wasn't for the Ranocchia screamer, God knows. I mean, I was already saying, like, oh, are we pulling a page out of the book of our rivals, saying that, oh no, we didn't even care about the cup, it's a pointless trophy? Or I mean, at the end of the day, a trophy is a trophy. I'd love to win it, but seeing how Inzaghi took it, with that in mind, what kind of a schedule we have. Like Matija Jovic said, from this point now, there's 1 week break. Then we have Milan home, Roma home, Napoli away, Liverpool home in 10 days. That's brutal. You know, you have to rotate it. Even with the international break, some of the players won't have a break.
Won't get a break, yeah.
Yeah, some have to travel God knows where.
Yeah,
to play for their country.
I wanted to add to what you were saying about the match. I mean, at this point, I think if we were to have a theme for every season of the podcast, this season's theme would probably be the non-clinical strikers. Because even at 1-0, I remember some clear chances that Lautaro got, and this guy has a knack for just putting it in the middle of the goal, right at the keeper, without even looking up. Just, you know, and he had a couple of those chances that I feel like if we had a serious guy that was really being clinical and finished them, we probably would not be going to 120 minutes. It's those little moments that, you know, if they go the other way, that they're supposed to go the other way, because you have a guy like Lautaro who's supposed to be with borderline world class. Still at that point where he can't improve that, he's still doing the same things from when he first arrived. He's improved vastly in other aspects of his game, but the finishing, well, not necessarily, not even the finishing. This is the crazy thing. I don't want to go on a long rant, but I like to say that Lautaro is not a bad finisher. You know, he just lacks the calmness in front of goal, because he's had some tremendous finishes when he's actually figured it out. Like the goal versus Napoli, or the goal versus Atalanta that got called back, stuff like that, you know. But he hasn't improved. It's just a problem that we have, and we're going to have to fix it in the summer. Like, we're going to bring somebody that we know he doesn't need three or four chances to score a goal, and this team's going to go to a whole different level, in my opinion.
He's too hot-headed, if you ask me.
That's what it is.
He overthinks, yeah. He overthinks when he has too much time on the ball. Because we see it numerous times. Like, if he starts running towards the keeper and he has a defender, he's going to start thinking, how do I get rid of him? Do I cross it back? Do I cut it back? Do I just keep running? You know, when he's probably faster than everyone else. You just keep running.
Yes.
You just shoot it.
Yes. I see that all the time. That drives me nuts. Great point, Ian. Great point.
And you notice that the times that he actually does, you know, keep running, like, there are times that we've seen, like, he leaves that man, or, like, you know, just kind of keeps him at arm's length, and he scores. Like,
yeah,
he really does, you know. Well, I think it was him, maybe it was Jekyll yesterday, trying to cut the ball back, and that gave enough time for the keeper to get out and get the ball. Or maybe I'm thinking about Empoli, but there was a time where it was one of our strikers, and they did that when they did have – the position on their man, they still had that extra step. I mean, it was taking them closer to the right post. But if he would have just shot, you know, right there, it would have been a better chance than trying to cut it back to the left and giving more time to the defense to recover. But
bro,
I mean,
but listen, it's been a struggle this year, man. With those two up top, having lost Lukaku, you know, like I'm surprised teams haven't figured us out yet to just press us and just make the pitch that much smaller for us, because we don't have that pace up top anymore. That's one of the reasons why I've gotten so frustrated with Correa the last couple of weeks, because he's supposed to be that pacey striker that we have. But oh man, like, I don't think any of our guys can beat a defender in a foot race, or at least believes that they can, and that's an issue. You know, a top team is going to figure you out and you're not going to be able to beat them.
Yeah. I mean, the best thing that we have, the most luck that we have, is that everyone else will score. Like,
yeah,
we saw Barella get the goal today. We saw, I mean, even with production wise, Dumfries, his cross to Dzeko was great. I mean, Ranocchia coming out of the woodwork, Sensi scoring out of nowhere. We have Alexis Sanchez, who's probably it's so odd to say, our best striker at this point.
Right now,
very,
yeah.
Yeah, very strange, but
it's most in form for sure. Definitely most in form.
See, to me, it's this, right? We, who do we have to finish really those hard chances? We had Lukaku. We don't even have him anymore. We have Dzeko, who is too old to consistently play. We have Correa, who is too injured. We have Sanchez.
Sorry, Ian. I just wanted to come in and say Empoli are 2-4 or 2 goals down to Roma now, and they might, you know.
Are they going to do a Juve now?
Yeah, I just wanted to say,
how much time is left?
20 minutes.
Yeah, no, I don't give that any chance.
Never, no, I'm about to put it on. Empoli plays some good football. I'm going to put it on.
Yeah, they do play some good football. Pinamonti got one of the goals.
Emberam scored the second one. Ian, you were saying something. Sorry.
Was I?
I doubt the
good luck remembering that. Yeah.
No. Who do we have to finish? This is
like Kanye West, bro. I'm gonna let you finish, but
who do we really have to finish chances? You know, we have Lautaro, who, I mean, I said it before and I'll say it again. Good chances, good strikers really get their mentality and get right into form, know how to score, finish. It's from 28 years old and older, you know, when you had that experience, you had that, so many situations you find yourself in, you say, okay, when someone is here, I know I'm faster, just do this, you know. That's why I think we need to cut Lautaro some slack, because he's still only 24. He's supposed to be next big thing, but
I feel like he's been only 24 for like 5 years now.
But he should have improved more. I agree.
Let me get him, Mikey. let me get him. I'm like Sanchez right now. Let me out of the cage, bro.
Oh my.
Yeah. See, but what happened with Sanchez when he went out of the supposed cage the next match? He didn't do anything. You know, Sanchez is a good bench player.
He is, but like I said on the podcast before, he scored that game-winning goal, so he earned that start. Let's throw him in for the first 60 minutes and see what happens. I mean, it's not like I expected him to be that good. So, I mean, he earned it. And it's just a matter of keeping your squad morale up, you know, like you seeing that you're rewarded for your good performances. But I knew, like, just looking at it in a vacuum, just Inter versus Atalanta, regardless of what happened in the Copa, hell no, I'm not starting Sanchez. You know, no way. No way, no how. But he earned it, so we started him and whatever. But I wanted to touch back on Lautaro, man. No, I cannot give him that slack, because we have guys in our league right now, like looking at Vlahovic, for example, 21 years old. It's like, this guy gets a chance. Turn, score. Bottom corner. He uses power when he needs to. The latest goal he scored, just chip the keeper. Like, this is a finisher. This is a striker. Even Skamaka is the same way. He's not as efficient as Vlahovic, or I need to watch him a little more. But I see the same thing. He's very decisive when he's finishing. Bottom corner, turn and shoot. Like, he has that decisiveness that a true gunman has, and Lautaro, he just doesn't have it. It seems like what makes him great is also what makes him bad, because what makes Lautaro great is his combativeness. Is like he's gonna press for 90 minutes, he's gonna win balls back, he's gonna tackle and stuff. He has that hot-headedness about it. Is that same hot-headedness that when he gets to the pitch, it's like all action. He doesn't have that calmness, the serenity to pick out a corner, you know.
If he
and
could
stuff
finish,
like that.
He'd be Carlos Tevez. If he could finish.
Yes. Pretty much, or even Kun Aguero, you know what I mean? But yeah. That's the thing. Like, I love the guy, but at this point, 24 years old, about to be 25, I'm finding my way off the wagon as far as him being a world class player, because, like, I don't know, man. Like, I feel like the way world football is now, like, by 25, 24, like, you know what you're going to be, you know? But I don't expect him to become a clinical finisher out of nowhere. It's either you have it or you don't, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I've always seen him as the guy that, you know, is better when you have the goal scorer beside him, because he can do all that work for his partner.
Exactly.
Up there. I think Dogan said it here. Yeah, he says Lautaro is the wingman, not the main gunner.
Not a gunner, absolutely. But I guess the fact that we have Deco up there, who is not clinical as well, that's why we're on Lautaro's back. You know?
I mean,
but
I feel like Lautaro deserved the chance to be the main guy. Like, I mean, he was second fiddle to Lukaku. They became one of the best strike partnerships in the world. Lukaku leaves, and then you're like, all right, kid, you know. It's your time. It's either shit or get off the pot. Like, do it now. That's it. And he's showing it. He's gonna get off, and it's not panning out the way that, you know, in the most idealized hope we would have had.
Yeah,
but I think you guys keep forgetting that players like Diego Milito, late bloomer, he came to us when he was, what, 28, 29 years old? Started tearing the league up.
He was
scoring
where he was before. He scored at Zaragoza. He scored at
That was exactly what I was going to say. He was always what he was. Like, he was always a Principe. It's just, like, the fact that his style, he's not the quickest guy. He's kind of awkward looking. Nobody really took him for a top striker and never really gave him a chance. Clubs. When he was playing at those low-level clubs, you could go watch tapes. Like, he's still doing the same clinical finishing that made him that legendary striker for us, you know? That's something that I feel like it's either you have or you don't. And it's okay.
I still think we expect too much of Lautaro, because he was, like you said, playing second fiddle to everyone in his inter-career. He was on the bench for Icardi. Mm-hmm. He was the second man in the Lukaku-Lautaro partnership. And now he's just supposed to make it in what, half a season, but an aging Dzeko, an aging Sanchez, and an injured Correa. Like, he needs consistency. He needs someone to play with him.
You're right. He needs someone who, you know, complements his attributes, but, like, we don't have the means or the players right now to do that. So, I mean, we knew going into this season, like, it was going to be Lautaro's chance to, you know, be the main guy. He was going to get his name in lights. He was going to be the one on all the posters, and he's still a great player, in my opinion. Like, he's a great player, but not a great finisher.
Yeah,
and we need a finisher right now. Like, we just need that.
He contributes a lot, but we can't really judge him solely by scoring goals, because he still does the pressing, the passing, the distributing, the dribbling, and all that stuff that you don't really see in other players.
I agree, Ian, but here's my thing. You bring out a great point, but here's my counterpoint to that. I'll give you a comparison. We're not on him really because he's not scoring goal. We're on him because he's missing so much, you know. You understand? So if he was doing something like, for example, like Benzema, for example, when he was playing with Cristiano, where he was doing everything for the team, pressing, sacrificing himself, making runs to open up space for Ronaldo and all that stuff. If he was doing all of that, you see a guy that's working for a team, or even Firmino when he was doing it at Liverpool for that season or two, you know, you would say, okay, you know what, that's a guy, that's what he does. But the fact that Lautaro, he's getting all those chances in front of goal, and you see that you're watching the replay, you see that he doesn't even look up to see where he's shooting it. He just blasts it. It's kind of frustrating, you know? But
I do agree, yeah.
But I was reading Sharma. Yeah, I didn't want to go into that, the rant, man, because that's something that we've all agreed on, that, okay, we know who we have on the squad. We know they're not clinical finishers. We're not going to harp on it on and on and on and on. But here we are.
It's just been a theme. It's been a theme the past few games. You know, our finishing has let the team down. Like, you know, yeah. I mean, every match there have been clear-cut chances. I mean, we're not starving for chances. We're starving for someone to put them, you know, in the goal. But to kind of move, I guess, off of Lautaro, I did want to put this. This is something I've been wanting to pose to the pod for a bit. I don't know if you guys have an answer or, you know, a full-fledged opinion, but what do people
you know, I
see?
Stay with opinions.
Well, yeah. But what do people see in Scamacca? I have yet to be convinced. And we talk about that guy often. And, he, of course, he's always linked. I mean, Scamacca, Fratesi, Raspadori. I've seen Raspadori. I get that. Like, I get what he's supposed to be. I get that vision. Fratesi, I see what people say. But, like, Scamacca, when I watch him and what I see people say, it never lines up to me.
I mean, somebody else better take this first. Like, it can't be just me. I want Risto to give his
Risto,
opinion.
Risto, what do you know about Scamacca? Can you convince me, or are you not convinced, or somewhere?
And let's ask the listeners as well. Give us what you guys think about Scamacca as well, guys.
Yeah, somebody convince me, please. I'm not convinced.
Well, you were talking about Lautaro. I was just looking at the stats for Lautaro and Vlahović this season. And it seems like...
Well, that's not the question.
No.
He was doing some work. Let's find out what work he was doing.
I was just looking at the, you know, playing time performance per 90 minutes. And he, the expected goals for Lautaro were 11.1. He has 11 goals, so minus 0.1. And Vlahović has 12.7 expected goals, which is 4.3 more than the expected goals. So he has 17 goals while having 69 shots. 17 goals out of which, 27 shots on target, 17 goals. And Lautaro
he's overperforming his expected goals.
Overperforming by 4.3 goals so far.
But that's what, you know, the argument to that is that's what good finishers do.
Exactly. He needs half a chance.
Yeah, but there's
the penalties. Penalties are not
true.
XG, but are what, 0.5, 0.6, something like that.
I don't know. Sharma would be the one to answer the question. Sharma's the XG king I had.
XG and sofa score.
But Scamacca is a really, really good player. I just don't think he's the solution on the long term because out of Sassuolo, I really like Raspadori. I like Raspadori more than anyone else on Sassuolo because he seems like he's very composed, which I think is the most important criteria when you watch someone as young as him and as confident as him. And composure is something that you either have or don't have, and he has a lot of composure.
And I heard that, Ian. Can you say that again for Ian?
No. You know who else has a great composure, Mike?
What?
Luciana Gume.
You're not about to sidetrack the podcast here.
I'm not.
This has been a train wreck of a pod. We've been in all the
places.
I want to hear
Ian about Scamacca, and I want to do the same thing before we get to Agume, if you guys don't mind.
I can't really comment on Scamacca because I don't watch Sassuolo. I'm not going to judge a player by a compilation because that only brings out the best of them, which we've been burned by João Mario and the likes.
In compilations, João Mario never looked special.
Yeah, that Euro, he was okay.
It wasn't 40 million, okay. But we did get burned on that one. Like, that is very, very well documented.
Yeah, so I can't really say without watching Sassuolo too much. I'll just leave it to someone else.
Just reminds me of one of these big strikers that is going to score once every like four games. That's the vibe that I get from Skamaka. I probably am wrong. Someone can clip this in a year when he's like on like 15 goals at this time next year for us or something. But
I mean, it's fine. I mean, you've said it yourself. You said that you, based on what you've seen, you know, it's okay. But personally, what I would say is like, I think that the potential is there, but he's at least a couple seasons away from being a guy for a team like Inter. Because I think this season is his first season being a full-time starter. And like, he's doing well. We've been linked all season, and you know me, like, that's all I do besides my schoolwork is watch football. So I've watched them quite a lot. And now that it seems like Vlahovic is going to Juve, I'm gonna watch him even more obsessive, in a more obsessive manner. You know, I've seen a lot of Sassuolo this season, because we've been linked to those three players, Fratesi, Aspadori, since last year, and now Skamaka. I see a player like that he has the mentality that we were saying that Lautaro doesn't. That's something that's very, very important to me. This is a guy that he's big, confident. He trusts in himself. He'll hit it from anywhere and score. You know, we've seen those goals that he scored. And he has the ability to lay it off and stuff. What he does lack is the physicality, even for a guy that's 6'5". Sometimes he gets pushed around because he's still kind of slender and stuff. So that's something we'd probably have to work on. And he could work on his pressing and his ability to take part of the game's play more. That's something that he would be able to learn from Zeko. I definitely want him at the team, but by no means do I feel like he's ready to be or number nine right now. Hell no. Maybe he's gonna get to 15, 16 goals this season. What does he have? He has 9 so far. I feel like that. Yeah, like 9. That, yeah. That's a good, for me, that's a good return for a 22-year-old on your first season starting. If you could get 16, 17 goals, 15 even. Lautaro had 17 last year in comparison, you know, so I definitely bring him in, have him learn under Dzeko for a year. We clearly see that Dzeko's on his last legs, and I believe that by 2023 he'll be ready. He has the potential. He's taller than Vlahovic. His left leg, I mean, his right leg is a cannon, and so the potential is there. The frame is there to build a tremendous player, and we just got to coach him up, and I feel like we can definitely do it.
It's strange to me because, you know, the way we talk about Skamaka is this really young prospect, and he's 23. Like, he's only a year younger than Lautaro. Like,
He's older than Vlahovic. That's the thing. It's a matter of who was ready first. Vlahovic has been starting for 3 seasons now. This is Vlahovic's 3rd season as a starter, you know, whereas Skamaka is just his first season as a striker. You know, he was still playing Primavera for some reason 2 years ago, yep, or 3 years ago, something like that. So I think that's why we're comparing him. Like, although he is older, we're just saying, like, it's kind of like the NBA, you know, like you're comparing rookies to rookie or year pro. It doesn't matter how old you are, you know what I mean? How long you've been a pro type of shit. So I don't know. At this point, it is definitely a settling mission because I've been holding out that we pull something out of our ass and get Vlahovic, but it's looking nice, like it's not happening. So Skamaka is the guy that we all have to at least take a look at, see what we can do about it. But me, I like him for sure.
But you know what, the rumors are going around that his entourage is basically the same as Icardi's, that they make lots of noise, that they demand lots of money, that they make all sorts of noise. That's more problematic now, since we are trying to keep the locker room clear, calm, collected. None of that drama, none of that BS, no keeping up with the Icardians. No more.
That's
no
more that, very good point. Yeah. No, I agree.
He just doesn't look like someone that Inter would go for. One of those reasons being, at the end, said he
the tattoos me, he looks, and all that stuff.
He's too flashy. I think he's the perfect player for Roma, in a sense. I don't know why. He just looks like a Roma player.
Mourinho and him would not.
I'm just thinking
Roma. No, he's not talking about he's not talking Liga. I know exactly what he's saying.
Oh, he's talking about club wise,
So you see him more, you see him as a Dani Osvaldo type, right? Right, Rusto?
Kinda. He's like flashy, he's flamboyant, he's not as composed as other strikers. He scores, you know, great goals. Not dead man. I think Osvaldo is the perfect comparison in a way.
Yeah, and I see what you mean, because of course we have the Inter way. Would prefer him to be like a more buttoned up guy, little family guy, stand up guy, and of course the stories about his dad being a head case and his grandfather being a head case are not ideal for what we like Inter to stand for. But at the end of the day, man, like we're following a football team, and We gotta give him credit for what he's doing on the pitch, and hope that he can develop that, and keep the noise away, you know. But so I see what you mean.
So the standard, I guess, you know, the usual standard for a striker is what, a goal every other game? That's kind of what the average is. That's what will help. That's what, if you do that, you'll make it in professional football at a decent level. So if we go with that. He's played 22 matches this season, 9 goals. That's not quite a goal every other game. I don't know. I'm still.
What this
conversation is, doesn't help.
Mm-hmm. How many starts does he have?
Starts? I do not know how many of those were off the bench. I had his transfer marked up, and I closed it.
He has 11. 11 out of 21 matches that he played are starts.
Okay, well, this is nothing convinced.
Okay, so he plays an average 51 minutes per game, scoring 9 goals, which is a goal every 125 minutes, with no assists. I think Lautaro has worse numbers than that.
Lautaro has played 200 or 190 minutes more than Skamaha has played so far. So Vlahovic is on 1,850, Lautaro is on 1,220, and Skamaka is on 1,033 minutes. So that's a huge, huge discrepancy between Vlahovic and the other two guys. Basically, half more than, you know, twice of Skamaka.
Of course, this guy is an alien. But you were saying, Lautaro, is Lautaro outperforming or is he underperforming?
He's right about XG. Spot on his XG. It was like 0.2 on, difference. Yeah.
0.1 difference. Like Lautaro. Yeah.
Sounds like. How about Skamaka? Do you have that pulled up, bro?
Yeah. XG for him was 6.5 and he has 9 goals. So plus 2.5. Okay. Overperforming, yes. And he has. Skamaka has 20 shots on target. 9 goals, and Lautaro has 21 shots on target, 11 goals. So, you know, the percentage is quite similar.
Do you have the I'm sorry, bro. And now that you have the stats pulled up, I can't let you go. The conversion rate. Do you have that pulled up? That's all I'm gonna be looking at for my strikers. Like, do you know how? Like, there's a
that would be would that be shots on target to goals? That's conversion rate?
Shots total, I think.
Oh, shots total? Okay.
I mean, Lautaro has 53 shots total, so including shots on and off target.
Mm-hmm.
Vlahovic 69 and Skamaka 46. So Lautaro has 3, 4, 7 shots more on goal. And only one, he has 7 more shots in total, only one shots total or target more than
anyway. I would suggest that all of us Interisti we watch Sassuolo a little closer, because it seems like one of those almost automatic moves that he is going to be the guy that we get. Because it's clear for everybody to see, and I'm glad that Zung's been in the stands the past 3 matches. It's obvious that Zeko is on his last legs, and we're gonna need another big guy in the summer. So, that's one thing for sure that I feel like we're gonna go for.
he Eldora has the worst goals per shot on target out of the three.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, yeah.
And the worst goals per shot on target. So
I don't know. That's our guy. We know. I mean, yeah. we got to deal with him. That's our boy. Ian doesn't like that, but I'm sorry, Ian.
No, I think you have to take into consideration as well how teams play against them versus how they play against us. You know, they're going to be more open against the Swallow and Fiorentina because they know they can get something out of the game. For Inter, it's more or less park the bus and cross our hearts, hope to die. You know, we have the best attack, the second best defense. What do you realistically expect? You know, yesterday versus Venezia, it was a different story because they really went balls out. They went balls out. You know, you saw them pressing. You saw them 10 men behind the ball just counterattacking the shit out of us. You know, but it was a plan. You know, it works. They have 7 points against, 7 out of 9 points against Roma, Fiorentina, and Juve. And now I guess you have 8 points against out of 12, if you count us. That's a great return for a team like Venezia without half their starters out due to COVID. Some players out on, you know, it was an amazing performance from them that wise.
Yeah, I mean, nice. Venezia and Empoli are two of the lower teams that do, you know, attack the most, that do play the most football at this point. I mean, Salernitana, they don't do anything. Who else has come up? I mean, Spezia play some football. I mean, we saw them get their result against Milan. These smaller teams that do try to play get closer to getting results than the ones who do just, you know, park it the entire match. So, I mean, I don't want to make an excuse as to why, you know, we were playing so close against these two teams, but I do think it is worth taking into account that these are two teams that aren't afraid to play football, even though they are smaller sides.
For sure.
Should we get through some of these comments here? Go ahead.
Yeah.
First, Statsman Dave. because Ken Darian said, is Vlahovic to Juve confirmed? If Vlahovic goes to Juve, will you drop your agenda?
Absolutely. I mean, I already said that, you know. I already have a Skamaka is better than Vlahovic agenda in my
draft. He's got the drafts.
I have everything ready, you know. I'm shameless when it comes to that. You know, I love a player like Dybala, for example. You guys have no clue how much I love Dybala as a player, but I contain that because he plays for the enemy. So it'd be the same thing. But to answer Kim Darian's question, we don't want to be misinforming everybody. No, nothing is confirmed. It's just that the latest rumors suggest that there's something in the works. You know, he's not answering the phone calls of Comiso, and he doesn't want, he already rejected the big offer of Arsenal, so he doesn't want to go there. And supposedly he wants them to accept whatever offer Juve has. You know, that's what is being reported, you know. So we've seen it happen before, because a similar story happened with Chiesa when Chiesa wanted to leave. And I think it was the same thing with Locatelli this summer, you know, where the player's will affected the transfer so much that they had to pretty much work with Juve to accept whatever Juve were able to offer. So it seems like it's going to happen, because just like we have that pool when a player decides, okay, I want to go to Inter, and then he makes it happen. We got to give it to him. Those teams, Milan, Juve, once they get to a player and the player decides that he sees himself in that shirt, he sees himself in that culture, they have the same pool that we do. And it looks like that's what's happening right in front of our faces. They got to him, and he looks like he wants to be the next big Juve star, you know?
I feel like he could fit that team in the way that, you know, he is, you know, the cockier guy and all that stuff. He would be a great antagonist.
He's definitely a Juve type of guy, like big cocky guy. He has a lot of Zlatan / Cristiano Ronaldo in him, you know?
Yeah.
So Ian didn't like that. But you guys want to make predictions for Juve and Milan? Because we're getting close to our mark right now.
Yeah, yeah. These predictions, by the time this goes out, at least on audio form, these predictions are going to crash and burn. But, you know, 2-2. I think it's going to be a draw. I think it's going to be an exciting match. I don't think either team is, you know, fully fresh. I mean, we've seen just about every team in Serie A this round, you know, they're rusty. They've got guys pulling up with hamstrings or what have you. Just especially the bigger teams are gassed right now. So I think both teams are going to give it their fairest shot. Like, this isn't a match you can sit back on because both teams need this match. So I think they're both going to go for it, but because of, you know, the conditions they're in, I think it's going to be a draw 2-2.
I agree. I mean, I just pulled up the starting lineups just now. Looks like Juve decided to go with the 4-4-2. Usually that means that Allegri is going to play terrorist ball. So
might not be worth watching then.
I can see a 1-1 draw, or I could see a 2-1 Juve with a dubious call, you know, just for
quadrado shits and giggles. Goal.
Yeah, so 1-1 or 2-1, either 1-1 or a 2-1 that Milan fans won't be happy with.
That they need replayed, right?
I don't know how many of those replay cards they got in their bag to pull out. Like,
yeah. Ian, who are you taking?
I just saw an interesting stat. Massimiliano Allegri, 14 wins, 4 draws, Pioli, 0 wins in their respective Ouch. Careers against each other.
Ouch.
After seeing that and with the recent form and the way they've been playing, Juve 2-1.
Risto.
1-1. Dybala and either
Junior or. Messias.
Let's see. I would like to see Ibrahimovic score and just celebrate like he does against every single other club. But
okay.
Yeah. It just
okay. Yeah, not many of us are picking Milan to win. That's crazy.
I just don't think we want to pick Milan. We don't want that hope. We don't want them to have that hope, I think.
No, me personally, I don't
honestly, like, I mean, they've got the attack to do it. I mean, what is Juve's defense right now? I think they could pull it out 2-1, but I'm going to go.
For me,
for that.
It's just on form. You know, that's why I'm saying that it's either going to be a draw or a Juve win, because let's be honest, Milan are not in the best of form. Of course, they got robbed against Spezia. Let's be serious, but they were laboring throughout that match. They couldn't score. Juve are coming off a couple big wins and also good performance against us as well. So, just based off of that, that's why I'm saying that I can't see Milan winning as clearly, but we'll see, man. Either way, we're fine because I'm more of the type that likes to handle stuff ourselves. So no matter what the reason is, I can't wait for the derby for us to go and establish our dominance. If we keep saying that we're champions, we're the superior side, we got to beat them, you know? So regardless of what happens today, it doesn't matter to me. Let's beat them. Let's beat them when we come back from the international break and establish ourselves.
Yeah. 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 It's going to be up to us either way. I like what Matthias said, his two comments. He says a draw would be best. It makes me sick to maybe say it would be good if Juve wins. I think everyone agrees there.
Yeah, just reading it.
If Juve wins and we win against Milan, like I think he's saying that they're out of the Scudetto race. I mean, that would be 6 big points right there. That would
11.
Yeah,
that'd bring us 11.
And depending on what Napoli does, around, yeah, that could be decided. I mean, there are going to be more head-to-heads. There's going to be a couple more matches where we could drop points, of course. You know, February is going to be hectic. Yeah. Anyone could climb back into it, but to get to 11 above second place would be huge at that point.
Yeah, that's why if we want to go for our hopes, God forgive me, but I would hope
–
I would hope the Zebras win. To be honest, because we need to be building up some more distance. Because February, man, I don't think we're gonna come out February unscathed. We're gonna be leaking some points. So hopefully, we could build up enough distance for at the end of February when we're looking to see how many feathers we've lost, how many bruises we have. hopefully we still was still like 1 point or 2 points up on them. That's what I mean.
At
that's
least why I one or two, at least one or two. I'd be shitting it by then.
Yeah.
Are we saying that Juventus are not part of the Scudetto race, right?
I don't think they're part of the Scudetto race. No,
I don't think they even think they're part of the Scudetto race right now.
No, it just sucks that if they win, they're literally gonna be in top four with a match in hand. You know, so we were all laughing at them, but they've clawed their way back and Atalanta and Napoli
doing Allegri things
or choking.
Yeah, well, Atalanta have a major injury crisis right now. Yeah. I was watching them yesterday. They were playing like four center backs in defense. They had a Primavera midfielder. Like, they're down bad.
It sucks.
I could never, like, support
that Gasparini Gatorade. I don't know. I guess they got the formula wrong this time.
One more thing before we go. I want Gasparini. Gasparini needs to go to Newcastle, man. Newcastle need to come after him. And
he said, get him out of my league.
Newcastle need to come after him and tell him that they're fun his project. And I think everybody would like to see it, man. Gasparini with money. Can you imagine? You know, that's just one of the dreams of mine.
Oh, yeah, that would actually be funny. He'll maybe start, you know, signing some NFL.
He'd still be talking about Inter. He'd still be talking about Inter. He'd be in England talking about Inter.
Like, yeah, look what I'm doing. If Inter had given me money, their team would have been like that 10 years ago.
It's
so cold here in Newcastle. It's like my reception at Inter. So, you know.
Yeah,
that would be fun, actually. I second that.
Seems like Inter is a club that leaves a mark on people. You know, Lukaku, Gasperini. Other fan bases recently, they've been bitching and moaning about us. And
I got everything.
Whether good or bad, we leave a mark.
Yeah.
We've got a lot of space rent free. let me update some of these comments before we get out of here. I want to get to everybody. You know, we've had a pretty active chat. I think we got up to 11 viewers at one point, which is. Anything double digits is pretty decent for us at this.
Thank you, everybody. Yeah. I mean, we appreciate every single one of you guys, all the comments. Please keep joining us. Tell everybody you know that loves not just Inter, but football in general about us. And I'm sure soon we'll be expanding to not just Inter, but the Serie A. Why not?
Hey, yeah,
and
maybe
the NFTs.
One day, yeah.
NFTs.
Oh, yeah. Charlotte says BOTW NFTs. No, our tokens are very fungible. We're doing Wallpaper Wednesday. We've got a few little wallpaper things to put out. So, yeah, watch out for those. If you like them, put them on your phone screen. Tell them where you got them.
Also, like this video, like the stream, subscribe to our YouTube, follow our socials.
You saw the private comment from here, Sto.
What? I didn't say anything.
Yeah, exactly.
Private comment.
Wissam says doesn't think Inzaghi trusts Sensi. I think he might be onto something there.
Yeah.
But that's something that could come. I know that if he leaves, that Inzaghi wants a replacement, but I don't think he can get that, so he's staying. That's an unlikely combo right there.
I don't think he trusts Sensi as a midfielder. I think he sees him more as a second striker.
Yeah, and Mattia saying Barella can't play against Liverpool could be a good thing. Serie A is more important. But it would be nice to have him so we don't get wiped and have to watch Gagliardini.
Yeah. The last time a midfielder stayed in January and he was supposed to leave was Brozovic. So
that
hopefully since he can replicate that and, you know, only good teams can come out of it.
Yeah, that is true. Tuku plus Pinamonti and 20 million for Vlahovic. Turn off Football Manager, bro. It's not happening.
It's a better shout than 35 million plus Kulusevski
for sure. Yeah, but Tuku's going to Fiorentina, bro. Plus the wages he's on right now. I mean,
you know, I just have like. No one is funnier than Dave when he speaks about Korea. He's so disappointed. He is so remorseful. He's so like, it's like,
I understand it. That's why I keep saying, like, I understand why we did it. And I understand giving Inzaghi one of his guys. But like, every like the last couple of weeks watching two things. Watching rumors of Juve offering 30 million in a player for Vlahovic and Fiorentina thinking about it. That's one thing. Watching Raspadori ball out and watching Correa on the bench or on the training table. These things have combined to make me so upset that we're wasting 31 million on this guy where we could have been using that money elsewhere. That's all it is. But again, I keep saying that I understand it's Inzaghi's guy. He wanted it. We sold Lukaku, Hakimi, whatever happened. The situation that happened to Eriksen, everybody knows all that stuff happened to him. So we had to reward him in a way by at least giving him one of the guys he asked for. So I get it. You know, yeah. But we're suffering for it right now because he's a luxury player, man. He's not a player that you can count on. You know, it's a, oh, if he can play, he could play. Okay, let's see what he could do today. You know, but it's not a, okay, we got Correa. He's going to do this. He's going to do that. I mean, come on, bro. We can't afford that. We're not Man City, you know. Everybody in the squad has to be somebody we can count on and we can rely on, you know, and he hasn't been that guy. Not at that price. Yeah. He's just like Sensi.
The way you said Correa is a luxury player made me draw a comparison. He's the Russell Westbrook of football.
Oh my God.
Flashy. Oh my
God. Wait, that was cutting up.
Wait. All right. Russell Westbrook of football is Tuku Correa. Flashy. Empty stats. He has, what, 4 goals? And both of them came in 2 games. I'm sure they won us something, but doesn't matter. Doesn't really have anything else to show for it. I mean, luxury doesn't justify the price tag or the wages that he's getting.
Man.
Inception. NBA. Serie A.
Oh, my God.
NFTs. All of that.
Okay. Yeah. The rest of the chat, everyone wants a draw. Everybody wants a Juve draw. I think they're right. They're agreeing with me. Good take for me. but yeah, I think that's about it. Anyone got parting shots or anything before we get out of here? Oh, are you going to make Ian do the sign out?
No final comments, thoughts from anyone?
I'm about talked out at this point. anybody?
Dave, you want to say something happy to send us off before I do the corporate outro?
Yeah, all this negativity, give us a little bit, give us a crumb of positivity.
Who, me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I don't think I need to give anybody any positivity, man. Our team is playing well. We're on top of the table. You know, we're pretty much about to watch a match carefree just now. No matter what the reason, the result is, it won't affect us much. You know, we don't have any major injuries, knock on wood. And we're even talking about possibly bringing in Kostic, which is going to be even strengthening the squad even more. You know, so we're in a good position, man. There's nothing to be negative about. Let's hope he continues to the way it is. We've been super lucky so far with COVID, with injuries. Let's just hope it continues that way because it could derail a season real quick.
Yeah, for sure. If there's anything that happens in the transfer window, I'm sure we'll be on for an episode. We'll be talking. We'll be watching some comps, some YouTube comps, and getting ready for that. But yeah, I think that's about it. It's pretty much wrapped up, I guess. Ian, if you want the floor.
And with that being said, thank you for watching live or listening on our various streaming platforms. Check us out on Twitter at BOTWPod. We are also on Instagram at BOTWPodcast. If you are older and on Facebook, you can find a search at Brothers of the World Podcast. For other links, check out our link tree in the bios of the social medias. Check our personal Twitters as well, all linked in the Twitter bio. For any sponsorships or collaborations, hit us up in the DMs on any platforms. And with that being said, thank you for checking us out and see you in the next episode.